And one of the reasons given for the trade was that Dougie Hamilton was not a great teammate because he liked to do things like go to museums instead of go out drinking with his teammates.
Wow.
That was one of the explanations. Yeah.
They have museums? They have museums in Calgary?
Bill Lee from San Rafael, California, in the last hour, is married to a Calgarian named Diana Donovan. Welcome back, Melnick in the Afternoon, TSN 690. Well, 2 years ago at this time, we were knee-deep in it, weren't we? Along with Mitch Gallo, Dave Trentadue is in for Rod Francis. Let's go to Pierre.
Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. ShipEnergy.com.
Everybody's waiting. How are you, Pierre?
Everybody is waiting. I'm good, Mitch. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Happy Canada Day weekend. I know you still celebrate, even if you're physically not here.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, how much longer do you anticipate this? I know Ron Hextall spoke publicly today and said it's holding everything up.
Oh yeah. Well, we talked about that the other day. I think that this was an important part of everybody else kind of moving along. I also think it affected a lot of what happened at the draft. I truly felt going into that draft we'd have as many trades as we'd ever had since I've been doing this. And it didn't work out that way. And I can tell you there was as much or more discussion as I've ever heard going into the draft weekend last week in Dallas. And I think the Tavares sweepstakes, because so many teams were included, it was played out for so long, held everything up and is still holding everything up, including James Van Riemsdyk, obviously.
Yeah. So what does your gut combined with your head tell you?
I still think the Islanders are involved. I've always felt that San Jose was the ultimate dark horse in this thing because of personal relationships that he has with different players in that organization. I think he also feels they have a legitimate chance to win. But I also think Tampa and Toronto are also very much involved. So it's hard to really say, oh, yeah, he's definitely going here, he's definitely going there. But I would say this, the longer it goes, probably the less opportunity for the Islanders.
Mm-hmm. They're not very confident, certainly, in Boston. But let's stay with, just for the sake of discussion, as it applies to the Montreal Canadiens, the Tampa Bay Lightning, Toronto Maple Leafs, New York Islanders. The Islanders we already know. But specifically those two teams. Gallo, that's your cue.
Well, with those two teams, I mean, I think it comes down to where does he think he has a better chance to win? Like, Pierre, in the immediate future, if you were to say, okay, I'm going to sign with a team and I want to win, better chance in Tampa, better chance in Toronto?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say probably Tampa. Only because the Stamkos situation, they'd be able to keep Braden Point, so they'd go 1-2-3 down the middle. Tavares, Stamkos, Point. That's pretty hard to beat, especially with Point, you know, at a 60-75 point player in the three hole. That would be pretty hard for teams to beat, and they've already established a really solid defense. And Vasilevskiy was a Vezina nominee, so That would be pretty tough to beat Tampa if he went down there.
Okay, so if it's Tampa, Tampa's going to have to make some moves. And
yep.
We're looking at it, and it seems like, you know, Tyler Johnson would be the likely candidate to move out of Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Do you see that as a possible fit for the Canadiens, Tyler Johnson down the middle? And also, do you think Tampa would trade Tyler Johnson in division?
I think they'd prefer not to. I think they'd probably prefer to move him west. But again, knowing that group down there and they're really calculating and wise, they will not hold a player back just because it's in the East. If they think that's the best compensation they're going to get for the player, they'll do it. Obviously, they're not going to be taking any money back. They're going to have to make a deal based on futures and probably, you know, draft picks, probably not even real players. It's probably just going to be picks.
And if it's Toronto, well, then the Leafs could trade Austin Matthews to the Canadiens. Problem solved.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. So what happens to Nazem Kadri? Like, there's not enough ice time.
What's that?
There's not really enough ice time for Nazem Kadri.
Oh, yes, there is.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, there is. There was enough ice time for Lars Eller in Washington behind Backstrom and Kuznetsov, and there was more than enough ice time for Nick Bonino behind Malkin and Crosby. Oh, yes, there is. There's more than enough.
Yeah, but Kadri's he's a 30-goal scorer.
He could, so let's say he goes, this is the Scotty Bowman talk to Steve Yzerman. Sacrifice personal statistics for team needs, and we're going to win the cup. And that's exactly what Yzerman did, and now he's portrayed as one of the greatest winners the NHL's ever seen. But he lowered his point totals. Kadri would probably have to have the same discussion with Mike Babcock. I don't think it would affect him. If those guys win the cup in Toronto, they're all done. All those guys are set for life.
Right.
In more ways than one.
Okay, so they can't keep everybody, though. Do you think Nylander can play in the middle?
That's the one. I don't know about that one. And the reason why I say I don't know about that one, they play, obviously they want to play more of an in-your-face defensive style, and that really requires your centermen to be key guys down low. I don't see him being that kind of a player. I see him more as being a guy that's going to score. He and Marner are pure offensive guys. They're forces. They're offensive forces. I would have a hard time believing that. The one thing people need to know, and I know you know this, Gallo, because of how much you watch that team, Johansson is a really good player. And he was kind of buried in the minors, the American Hockey League last year. And when he got a chance to play up with the Leafs, he made an impact with their coaching staff.
Oh, he looked good against the Habs. I think that was the last game of the year.
Yep.
So everybody's kind of like, oh, what are they going to do with it? They have reserves, and he's one of them.
Yeah, he had 24 points in 16 American Hockey League playoff games en route to their championship. And the other guy is Kapanen. Kapanen's going to be getting a lot more ice.
He'll get a tremendous amount more, but could you imagine now? This is the Capitals model. Now in the Pittsburgh model, Pittsburgh had Crosby, Malkin, Bonino, and Cullen. Washington had Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Eller, and Beagle. They're going to lose Beagle. It looks like Beagle's going to Vancouver. And so now, if you're in Toronto, you're going to, if this works out, you go Matthews, Tavares, Kadri, and then Kapanen in the four hole.
All right. If you just turn this on because you just got out of work and you're planning your Canada Day celebration, John Tavares has not signed with the Leafs.
No.
Not yet. He hasn't signed with anybody. No decision made. We're all waiting on John Tavares. I guess some people already started to look ahead to 2019, and it looks like you can scratch Drew Doughty off potential UFAs for next year.
Well, I did on Ottawa radio this morning. That's what we talked about, one of the things. And I said, of all the players that could be free agents next year, I have to think that guy's staying close to home. He loves playing there. He's revered by their fan base. He knows that he's really one of the top dogs there in Los Angeles for non-football players. I mean, he really is a popular guy there. And I think he's really comfortable with the lifestyle. So I could not see him. I thought he'd be the one for sure that would be staying.
One name we haven't mentioned a whole lot of the last couple of weeks, I remember suggesting after they got knocked off by Washington that Tampa could use a guy like James Neal. Obviously, their sights are elsewhere, and they really can't afford that. But where do you see a good fit for James Neal?
I think there are a lot of places. New Jersey could be one, just because of the high-octane offense that they play. And that's James Neal's calling card. Ray Shiro traded for him once before. It's one of the greatest heists of all time. Ray Shiro traded Alex Goligoski for Matt Niskanen and James Neal. Can you imagine that? That was a two-for-one. Dallas paid two guys to get Goligoski. And Goligoski's a useful player, but I could see it one-for-one. Goligoski for Niskanen. That was one of the greatest heists of all time. James Neal would be comfortable in New Jersey. I could see him being a Ranger if they wanted to go down that road. I could see potentially him being a fit in Minnesota. I could see him being a fit potentially in L.A. I don't see too many places where he wouldn't fit well.
Well, because you mentioned Ray Shiro, let me try to tell a story that involves you. And I'm going to try to remember it accurately, and you can jump in at any time, Pierre. Ray Shiro wanted you to work with him in Pittsburgh, correct?
Yes.
You declined. You thought about it and you declined.
Yes.
He ended up hiring Chuck Fletcher as his top assistant, correct?
Yes.
Both you and Chuck Fletcher interviewed for the GM position in Minnesota.
Correct.
One of the reasons that Chuck Fletcher probably got the job is because he had experience in the front office.
No question.
Today, Chuck Fletcher has been hired once again by Ray Shiro.
Yep.
as his top, basically his top lieutenant.
But that's a
no?
stretch.
Okay,
Tommy Fitzgerald is a top lieutenant.
Okay, so he got it, but it's a front office. It's a heavy duty front office spot.
Going there to work, which is good. Yeah. That's what you want to do. You want to hire people that you trust, but people that also have a tremendous amount of experience. And Chuck has a lot of cap experience. He's got a lot of American League experience. He's got a lot of scouting experience. He knows the West, so that's going to help him. You always look to – that's where I think teams make mistakes. They kind of close their eyes and their ears to hiring different people. In this case, Ray wasn't afraid to do that, and I think it's obviously a very solid hire.
Did you ever second-guess yourself for saying no?
No, okay. Not at all. Huh? My life's been unbelievable. I'm so grateful. I know I pride myself on being loyal. And I was very loyal to the people at TSN at the time. I had signed a very long contract with them, and I wasn't comfortable leaving it. When I got for that kind of a job, it would have to be the head job I would be comfortable leaving for, but not as an assistant. And now, I think it's pretty apparent, once things started going deep with other general managers' positions, Pittsburgh and Montreal in particular, I had to sign a different kind of a deal with NBC, and I did do that, and I'm staying there. So, yeah.
By all accounts, they're in quite hard on Tobias Reeder.
All right, Bob McKenzie, in his final discussion with Connor and the guys in the morning, picked up on something we threw out at you yesterday, Tobias Reeder. I know you're not a big fan as much as some other people apparently are. What the people who like Reeder, and he is apparently being wooed by several teams, including the Canadians, the people who like him, what do they like about him?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them. he's not a terrible player. I don't even try to go down that road. That's not what I'm saying. I watched him play in Germany. I watched him play for the Kitchener Rangers. Obviously watched him in the NHL. What is he as a player? He's not a pure scorer. He was in junior, but that has definitely not translated to the NHL. Is he an elite checker? Is he? I don't know. He's got a lot of minuses. I don't know the last time he was a plus player in the NHL.
Well, Pierre, here's what I would ask you, and you could speculate, because the Canadians have Phil Deneau, right?
Right.
They're apparently going to bring back Thomas Plekanec.
That's what I've been hearing.
Tobias Reeder, in no way, shape, or form, would be a one or a two on any team.
No, that's what I'm trying to get at, yeah.
Yeah, so then... Can you understand, unless there's something going on, which is possible, there could be something else going on, but I don't understand the interest.
They might have something else going on. You may have touched on that. So I don't know the answer to that. But again, when I do my evaluations on players, especially at the pro level, I'd like to try to quantify what they are.
Right.
And in this case, I can't quantify. I'll give you an example. When Mark Bergevin got... a couple of the guys that he pulled in, it was easy to quantify what they were going to be, especially Deneau. And I remember telling you, clear as day, best suited to be a three, but can play up in your lineup. Is a shutdown guy that's got some offensive capabilities, but will not be an elite offensive player. So I could quantify what he is. I remember telling you Lars Eller. Lars Eller is a checker. He's a depth player. He's never shown pure offense, but he's a guy that could pitch in from time to time. Well, he had a career year this year, and he was outstanding for Washington and was a big part of them winning the Cup because he was playing in the three-hole. That's where he needs to play. I can't quantify this player. I don't know. It's hard for me. I don't know what he really truly is.
Another guy that the Canadians are apparently interested in is another veteran third-line type, Antoine Roussel.
That guy is a super pest beyond belief. He plays with energy. He plays with enthusiasm. He's a serious pain in the derriere. You got to just coach him up in terms of not taking bad penalties. He would be an amazingly useful player for that team.
I'm just hearing some of these possible players, right? And it just feels like they're on that tier of players. Like last year when the Canadiens signed, it's like I hear Tobias Reeder, and I think, okay, this is like when they signed Peter Holland.
No, he's better than Peter Holland.
Yeah, no, he's an upgrade.
He's an NHL player. Peter Holland
Well, I mean,
Played two years in the NHL, I don't see them
all that different.
He's a little bit. He's got a little bit more upside than Holland. I mean, he just there's a little bit more sandpaper to his game. Than
well, Holland's career is over as an NHLer. It appears to be.
Mm-hmm.
Readers, anyway. But the same. You know, I know. And then on the fence last year was
Joe Morrow. Yeah. Again, a guy is 6'7". It just feels that's the type of player that we're going to see the Canadiens sign on Sunday.
This is a hard year to play the free agent market. I think everybody knows that. There's not a lot out there. And again, as Mitch Mountain correctly said, everybody's waiting on what's JT going to do, what's John Tavares going to do. It's hard to really say you're going to be able to make yourself better through free agency. I'm going to tell you, here's one thing I told a general manager friend of mine about a month ago. And I know I told you guys this on the radio. I don't know why people aren't preparing a nice little subtle offer to Luke Shen. If anybody watched, you know, I'm hearing always this player, that player. If anybody watched Arizona the last 30 games of the year, Luke Shen and Oliver Ekman-Larsson were the top tandem in Arizona, and they were really good. And that team had a really nice run at the end. And I think you could get Luke Shen at a bargain basement price. You wouldn't have to go deep on term with him. He definitely can play in the 5-6 role. I think he can play in the 4 role only because he's so urgent to want to stay in the league and prove himself. The worst thing that happened to that kid is he got put in the NHL as an 18-year-old when he should have been going back to Kelowna, playing on the 09 World Junior team after playing in 08 and being a huge part of them winning gold in overtime against Sweden in 08. And it just set his career stumbling and bumbling because he was on a bad team and he was getting devoured by the media. And it broke his spirit. And now you see it's taken him all this time to get it back on the rails.
Which happens to defensemen, whether they have been pushed or not. Occasionally, defensemen do kind of mature a little later.
For sure they do. For sure. And I think, listen, they're not all Chris Prongers. They're not all Scott Niedermeyers. That's just, those guys are one-offs. They're not all like that. You know, that's the heartbreaking part of this. But I would tell you, this is my own little feel for this thing. He's one player that I would have interest in.
It looks like Ryan Reeves, after a visit, apparently visiting a couple teams, including the Rangers and maybe Vancouver, is going back to Vegas. No?
Is that for sure?
Well, it's being reported this afternoon.
Okay, well, if that's the case, that's an inside job because of Kelly McCrimmon, who really was a big voice. He's the assistant GM in Vegas. He was a big voice in trading for Reeves. Reeves played 3 years for him with the Brandon Wheat Kings, and that's why that's if that's the case and he's staying there, that's a make good to Kelly McCrimmon for bringing him in, and I respect that a lot about Ryan. That's the kind of guy he is, so good for him. I kept hearing, and I don't know how much validity there was to it, that the Rangers were in play.
Yeah, I think Larry Brooks reported
just
before we came on the air that's not happening.
Okay, well, that's good to know, because that's the one where I thought, that's a good fit there. That's why I think, you know, Mitch Gallo was talking about, you know, this reminds me of this or that or the other thing. You know, you get a guy like Roussel in Montreal, he's going to get the crowd going. He's going to get guys awake in a hurry. He is not fun to play against. That would be a good fit for that team.
Takes a lot of penalties, right? He takes a lot of penalties.
That's the one thing. You got to coach him up. You can't be doing that. And you tell him, I'm prepared to. If I'm the coach, I say I'm prepared to give you 14 minutes a game, but you got to stay out of the box, man. You got and just shut up. Don't talk to the officials.
and your PK better be a lot better anyway. Gallo, you're just going to throw one more thing at Pierce.
Yeah, just one more player, and specifically for the Canadiens, because I have it's going to sound weird because the Canadiens are loaded at left wing, but I have a real strong sense with David Perreault and the Canadiens as a fit.
You think they'll go after him?
I think so.
It's interesting about him. I'm not sure I've ever seen a player do what he did. He went from Saint-Jérôme, he was there for 1 year, and then he went to the Lewiston Maniacs for 1 year, played a World Junior, played in the Super Series, and then he played in the NHL. So he went from Tier 2 Junior to Major Junior to the NHL. That's unbelievable. I don't think I've ever witnessed a player doing that.
I've always liked him, But right now for this team, after they said we want to get faster and younger, that's not his strength.
No. What he is, though, he's crafty with the puck.
And he's sturdy.
Oh, he's not shy, but he's crafty with the puck. Now, he's not a centerman, so that kind of crushes that. And he plays. He's one of those real give-and-go players. He's very good at the give-and-go stuff. But I could see that being a fit, too. I could definitely see that. I'll tell you one thing about him. I like him. Early in his career, I didn't really know him that well, but I got to know him over time. I like him a lot as a person.
All right, I think we're just about done. Looks like Carter Hutton's going to Buffalo.
Didn't we talk about that yesterday?
Yeah. Oh, well, the only thing we missed yesterday, we didn't touch on, you mentioned it, but fans may not have caught on to what went down, is that Rick Nash doesn't want to play to start next year. He's not ready to commit to anybody.
Yeah, I don't know the exact reason why, except I know that he's an unbelievable family guy. When he got traded from the Rangers to Boston, I think that kind of hurt him a little bit in terms of the family. Rick Nash is one of the nicest men you'll ever meet, and he loves being a father. He loves being a husband. And I think, you know, when you're, he's obviously financially stable. And sometimes you just get to a certain point where you say, I miss my family. I just want to be around them. And so maybe that's part of it. I don't know. Maybe he's just trying to wait it out and see what's going to happen with the Devils, or what's going to happen with the Rangers, or what's going to happen with the Islanders. We'll see. I think, you know what, Mitch? You nailed it at the start of the show. Everybody's waiting on Tavares. I really mean that.
Well, the next time we speak,
we'll know.
The waiting will be over.
Well, if we don't know, that's going to be crazy. But we should know by then.
Have a terrific weekend, and we will speak to you on Monday. I'll be here Monday.
That's good. I look forward to that. I'll be in Montreal Monday, and I hope we can get together.
That would be cool. Yep.
That would be very
good. Let's try
good.
To work something out.
And I'm staying over Tuesday night and leaving very early Wednesday morning.
Okay, look forward to it.
Well, definitely. Now, don't write me out of your
my schedule?
Plans.
My schedule?
Yeah, make sure you leave a little time for me.
Yeah, depends who's playing at the Jazz Fest, but I'll squeeze you in.
See, I knew you were going to go somewhere.
No. Just let me know that you're around, and we'll do something, for sure.
I'm staying at Sally's place.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do something.
All right, we'll get together. Have a great weekend, everybody. Mitch, and Dave Trinidui, thanks for an awesome week.